And we're now in motion.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time that the County Council holds hearings on zoning applications. Since they are legislative hearings, which the council uses the information during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director, Mr. Lank, will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing. Those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendations, if any, made by the commission. The applicant then will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting the application. The council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at this podium and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself, and if you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that have been made by a prior speaker. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today, Mr. Lank, is the application of Jeremy W. Smith.
Yes.
And I would like to announce prior to your statement, Mr. Cole is not here today. Mr. Cole has recused himself from this matter because of a potential conflict of interest or an appearance of conflict of interest. So he will not be here, nor will he vote on this matter.
This application is conditional use number 1913. It's the application of Jeremy W. Smith to consider a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a yard waste and composting facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. That parcel containing 17.01 acres, more or less, and lying west of Road 347, also known as White's Neck Road, 1,850 feet south of Road 349, also known as Old Mill Road. Before I start, and for the benefit of those present, the council members all have a copy of the booklet that was submitted for the record by the applicant. It was submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 26th of 2011, and revised booklets were submitted for council on November 10th of 2011. The council has also been provided with a copy of all of the opposition petitions and letters and emails. There are 161 total signatures on the petitions and 33 letters or emails that have been provided to council by copy. And I have two additional ones that were received, one by fax yesterday from Janet M. and Thomas W. Fadley, and also another one that was received today through administration from Sandra and Dennis Lynch. And I'll pass these two down to council since I just got them. I didn't have time to copy them. For the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission did hold a public hearing on this application on August 27th. The applicant provided the exhibit booklet I just referenced. We had received comments from the Department of Transportation. They are a part of the booklet. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District on October 6th of 2011. They are summarized in the text of the minutes before council. On August 24th, 2011, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division submitted comments. They are also summarized in the form of the minutes in the report to council. The opposition letters that were received at the commission level prior to the meeting, there were a total of 149 signatures on the petition and 23 letters and emails. They were also referenced and summarized. Jeremy Smith was present with Mark Davison and Doug Berry of the Pannoni Associates and gave testimony. There were15 parties that spoke in opposition on behalf of those present in opposition and gave testimony. One of the Bonnie Patrick, who's spoke in opposition, submitted photographs for the benefit of Ms. Patrick. I'll pass these down to council, and if she's here, she can make reference to those photos if she so desires. Mr. Smith and Mr. Davison responded to some questions raised by the commission. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission asked for a show of hands. There were two parties present responding in support and 40 parties present in opposition that raised their hands. Mr. Johnson stated this site was previously been utilized for poultry houses and actively farmed, and that it could be developed with approximately 100 homes based on zoning and central sewer. That was just an observation. And then there was a motion and a second carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and also to allow Mr. Burton, one of the commission members who was absent, time to review the application record if he so chooses. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Pardon? We have central sewer that lot, that property?
It's in the process.
In process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just being constructed. So, not to this lot, to the, in that area, would be able to hook up, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions from council members? If not, is the applicant or the applicant's representative here? And
good afternoon. My name is Douglas Berry, I'm a professional engineer for Pannoni Associates in Milton, Delaware. Along with me here today is the applicant, Mr. Jeremy Smith. I've been practicing PE in the state of Delaware for almost 10 years now, and I feel like we've really assembled a strong project team for this application. There are multiple PEs, environmentalists, land surveyors, and registered landscape architects providing consulting service to Mr. Smith on this application. So I feel like we've really done our due diligence to this point. Again, this is an application for conditional use located in an AR1 zoning district for a yard waste recycling and composting facility with sales. As Mr. Lank identified, hearing booklets were submitted to the Planning and Zoning Department November 10th, copies of which you should have before you. The subject property is 39 acres in size and is located on the west side of White's Neck Road, south of Old Mill Road in Millville. It is zoned AR1, and the site is currently used for farming operations. The conditional use area encompasses 17 acres of the 39 acres, so we're looking at less than 50% of the subject site as subject of the conditional use application. The West Ocean Farms and White's Neck Village subdivision are on abut the property to the north. In addition, there's a small agricultural property to the north of our property. Solely agricultural uses exist to the west of the property. To the south of the property is the existing Squirrels Run subdivision, and to the east of the property is White's Neck Road. It shall be noted that a little bit up north on White's Neck Road, there's an existing B1 zone commercial use called Village Square, in addition to state's land at the southwest intersection of Old Mill Road and White's Neck Road. It is our understanding that a portion of this land is used or was used as a soil disposal area for construction of the new Indian River Bridge. The property is within investment level 2 of the state strategies map, where quote unquote state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses, foster efficient use of existing public and private investments, and enhance community identity and integrity. It's also within the environmentally sensitive developing area as identified in the county's comp plan. These areas are defined as areas that can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. The comp plan also supports conservation and agricultural type business uses on the subject property. So with regards to the proposed development, Mr. Smith, the applicant, is proposing an organic yard waste recycling composting with sales facility in order to provide a disposal destination for residents and businesses of the community. As you know, our existing landfills and transfer stations are overburdened by yard waste, and this facility will allow us to alleviate some of that burden and that it puts on our landfills and transfer stations in Sussex County. Composting is a microbial process that converts yard waste and other organic waste to a more usable material, provides additional soil nitrogen for existing plants, and improves soil's physical properties such as infiltration and drainage. When Mr. Smith first contemplated this application, he went to DENREC and they identified the first step in procuring a permit to do this work was to procure the appropriate zoning approval by county council. That's why we're here this afternoon. Mr. Smith also reached out to several area neighbors to discuss his proposed use on the land and to have them identify some of their concerns so we could potentially address them before coming before you in a public hearing format. Now, it is important, very important to stress that this facility must be designed and operated in accordance with DENREC's guidelines for yard waste composting facilities. These guidelines were established by both the state and the EPA to promote this type of composting facility in the state while providing environmental protection as well as protection to human health. If these guidelines are not met through his application with the state, or if they find that he's not operating the facility in accordance with these regulations, the state will simply come in and shut it down. Now, some of the DENREC guidelines for yard waste composting facilities, I'll highlight some of them. It's quite voluminous of a document, but again, only organic yard waste is permitted on this facility. What's organic yard waste? It's grass, leaves, prunings, brush, shrubs, Christmas trees, garden material, and tree limbs, only less than 4 inches. Anything less than 4 inches will not be accepted by this facility. There are several siting limitations DENREC also has within their regulations that we comply with. For example, composting operations may not be located within a 100-year floodplain. We're not within a 100-year floodplain. It can't be located within 300 feet of an occupied dwelling. Or outside 300 feet of an occupied dwelling. It can't be located within 25 feet of a property line. And as you can see, the facility is well off 25 feet of adjacent property lines. Furthermore, it can't be located within 100 feet of a water source or perennial stream. There's an existing farm pond that's here that has been, the site has been positioned far enough away so we can comply with that requirement. In addition, the Millville tax ditch is down here, and I would say it's about 400 feet to 500 feet south of the composting facility. There are also several operational requirements that must be adhered to. This includes signage. Mr. Smith will be required to put a large sign out by White's Neck Road that says this facility will only accept organic yard waste up to 4 inches. Anything greater than that has to be taken somewhere else. Now, as Mr. Lank stated, we went before the Planning and Zoning Commission in a public hearing format on October 27th. There were several neighbors in opposition, and there were several items identified as concern to the neighbors, which I'm going to attempt to address in forecast that they'll be presented again in denial of this application later. These include odor, noise, truck traffic, gas, dust, gas emissions, fires, and groundwater contamination. And I'll briefly touch on each one. Odor. This composting facility can accept yard waste and organic waste only by the state of Delaware. Dumping of kitchen or commercial waste products will not be permitted. In addition, no animal manure will be used. Therefore, as long as Mr. Smith operates the facility, he keeps the composting aerated and the windrows are turned periodically in accordance with the state regulations, there should be no nuisance odors emitted from this site. The second one was noise. There is a perimeter forest which lines a majority of the perimeter of the property. This should screen some of the noise that will occur during the day-to-day operations of the facility. We did want to note that the hours of operation are between 8 and 4, so that should limit nighttime noise. In addition, due to the 4-inch limitation, the applicant is not expecting any heavy equipment whatsoever on this facility because there's no need for it since the material that's going to be brought to the site is going to be small. That leads into truck traffic. Again, since the applicant is not permitted to accept anything greater than 4 inches, tractor trailers are not expected to use this facility at all. However, the applicant does expect periodic tractor trailers for the first couple months of operation so mulch can be delivered to the site. But at max, he's thinking maybe one a month. And it should be noted that this is currently less than what's accessing the site to get to the chicken houses at the rear of the property. The gas emissions. Now, there were concerns of hydrogen sulfide and methane, and theoretically they could be generated by yard waste, but the state regulations are such that you cannot enclose yard waste in a vessel. Compost piles are not permitted to be enclosed, as proper compost requires an oxygen-rich environment. As some of you may know, hydrogen sulfide and methane are generated by anaerobic bacteria, and oxygen is poisonous to these organisms. Therefore, there's absolutely no way hydrogen sulfide and methane can be generated at this facility so long as Mr. Smith does not enclose any of the yard waste in vessels, which he's not permitted to by the state of Delaware. Dust control. There will be on-site water. There's an existing well on the property. If another one's needed, he will procure the appropriate DENREC permits to construct an additional well. This water can serve as dust control. In addition, the gravel road that leads to the rear of the property will serve as a mechanism by which the vibrations in the rock will remove some of the dirt that accumulates in the tires and minimize whatever might be deposited on White's Neck Road and the adjacent state streets. Fires. The DENREC requirements are in place to minimize excessive heat. The applicant must have proper moisture control and periodic mixing of the windrows. There are sizing limitations, and the compost must be stored on an impervious surface. Therefore, a fire is extremely unlikely. However, in the event of a minor fire, he does have on-site water for dust control and the composting operations that can be used in the event of a minor fire. If there's something a little bit more significant, the Millville Volunteer Fire Company is within 1 mile of the site. In addition, there's an existing fire hydrant on the property adjacent to White's Neck Road. Groundwater contamination. ANPDES, or the formal name is National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, permit will need to be procured with DENREC, and this permit addresses groundwater contamination. The facility will not be permitted by the state of Delaware unless we adequately demonstrate compliance with NPDES regulations. Typically, this is achieved through the use of green technology, stormwater best management practices, and I'll touch on that in a brief minute. But essentially, we will be expanding the existing farm pond and making it an infiltration facility to serve the property and the use. Now, as I stated before, the property is within an environmentally sensitive developing area. And we prepared an environmental assessment report, a copy of which is in your zoning booklet. And I just wanted to touch base on how we're addressing some of the environmental concerns. With regards to stormwater, and I briefly indicated this a minute ago, the existing farm pond will be converted to a stormwater management facility and constructed in accordance with DENREC and the Conservation District regs. In addition, and this is in your booklet as well, we have performed a detailed nutrient budget to show how the use and the project will meet the mandated total maximum daily load reduction that's also required by the state of Delaware. Water for the property will be supplied by an existing on-site well that's located near the chicken house. An additional well may be constructed. If so, we'll get the permits from DENREC, and the work will be done by a licensed well driller in the state of Delaware. Sanitary sewer. The proposed conditional use does not need sanitary sewer. The applicant proposes to have a single porta pod on the site to serve his employee and any potential person that comes in to dump yard waste.
Is that permanent?
Yes. Traffic. DLDOT has stated that a traffic impact study will not be required. However, a commercial entrance permit will need to be procured adjacent to White's Neck Road. This entrance will have to be designed in accordance with the state's regulations. We foresee possibly a deceleration lane, an acceleration lane that will be designed in accordance with the state regulations to address any increase in traffic. However, the increase, as stipulated by DLDOT, is not so significant that it will require a traffic impact study due to the fact that it should not adversely impact the existing streets in the area. Endangered species. A study of the site revealed no presence of endangered species. Wetlands. There are no wetlands within the conditional use area. Similarly, floodplain. The floodplain is on the property down near Millville Tax Ditch, but is not within the conditional use area subject of this application. Open space. The existing woods on the property remain as is. In addition, mandatory DENREC setbacks for this type of facility will allow additional open space. Economic, recreation, or other benefits. As previously stated, this facility will allow residents and business people of the community to take their yard waste to this facility for composting and reuse, thus alleviating the burden it's presenting on our existing landfills and transfer stations. Historical and cultural resources. A search of the state's database shows that there are no historical or cultural uses on the property. And again, I've stated this before, but I wanted to stress again that this application must be designed and permitted in accordance with DENREC's requirements. The applicant, Mr. Smith, will be required to procure a DENREC yard waste composting facility permit. In addition, he'll be required to procure a DENREC air permit. But again, the first step is to achieve the appropriate zoning for the use. And in the zoning booklet, there were several findings of fact, which I may or may not have touched on to this point, but I did want to go through some of them. Again, this is an application for a conditional use located in an AR1 district for a yard waste and composting facility with sales. At present, the land is zoned AR1 and therefore meets the purpose of the comp plan, promoting the conservation and agricultural use element of the plan. The property is within investment level 2 of the state strategies map where growth is promoted. The site is within an environmentally sensitive developing area as defined in the Sussex County comp plan, and I went through and addressed how we intend on adhering to some of the environmental concerns within the property. Water service to the facility will be provided from an on-site well and perhaps a new on-site well. The proposed conditional use will not need sanitary sewer service. The project will comply with DENREC guidelines for yard waste facilities. Entrance improvements will be designed and permitted in accordance with DLDOT requirements. Sediment and stormwater BMPs will be designed and permitted in accordance with DENREC and Sussex Conservation District requirements. In addition, the conditional use will be subject to preliminary and final review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Department. The proposed yard waste and composting facility meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of the county. There were also some conditions of approval that I'd also like to go on record here this afternoon with. The hours of operation shall be from 7:30 a.m. to 7 o'clock p.m., Monday through Saturday. Sundays by appointment and demand only, with business hours between 8 and 4 p.m. Storage areas, process areas, and trash containers will be no closer than 300 feet to an existing dwelling. Entrance and related improvements required by DLDOT will be completed in the time period necessary. The site will have one non-illuminated on-premise sign that meets county requirements, and this will be the one that stipulates that the facility cannot accept any organic yard waste greater than 4 inches in diameter. Parking lot and security lighting will be provided and will have downward illumination and shielded so illumination does not encroach over adjacent property lines. Required buffers will be illustrated on the preliminary site plan. And the uses on the site will be limited to recycling, composting, and sales of the material. With that, I want to turn it over to the applicant, Mr. Smith, who has some things he would like to say.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeremy William Smith. I live in 2 Smithfield Court, Unit 106 in Ocean View, Delaware. I would like to thank you, the County Council, for allowing us to be here today. Also, I would like to thank the friends and neighbors for being in attendance. I'm a fifth-generation Sussex Countyan, and I currently reside within 2 miles of this facility. We are here this afternoon because we want to present a new small business venture for the area. It is my intention to open the facility that accepts designated organic yard waste from local homeowners and landscapers. We intend to offer a central and convenient location for the public to drop off their yard waste while having the option to pick up a premium finished composting material and or mulch. I'm looking forward to establishing a small business in the community that I grew up in, and I thank you again for your time and consideration.
Thank you again for your patience and time this afternoon. With that, that concludes our presentation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Well, you're using the term, I'm sorry, Mr.
Wait, no, Ms. Deaver, go ahead.
You're using the term organic waste, and then you use the term organic yard waste. Which is it?
It's organic yard waste.
Specific. That word is in there. Because
yes.
Because organic waste includes animal waste. I'm looking it up on the computer.
Yeah, okay. It's organic yard waste only.
Okay. Ask a question just to extend that. You're referencing the DENREC definition, is that right?
That's correct. Okay.
That's quoted. The DENREC definition is quoted on page 3 of my report.
Of organic waste or organic yard waste.
Organic yard waste is defined,
yes,
right?
The word yard is important.
There is one picture that I've noticed that does indicate poultry manure on the list. Is that acceptable?
No, not on this facility. I think Mr. Smith can attest, I think that manure is to serve the existing chicken houses that will not be there after the conditional use and permits are procured and the composting facility constructed.
It's already zoned for chicken houses now, is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Might be better to have a yard base to have a chicken house.
What?
In other words, it's zoned for agriculture too, right?
Pardon me?
This is an agriculture area. It's already zoned agriculture.
Yes, with the exception of the residences to the south and north. But everything to the west and a portion of the property to the north is zoned agricultural.
This is going to be put in agriculture area.
Correct.
I am a little confused on one thing. You've said two different things. You said the hours were 7:30 to 7 and then 8 to 4.
Yeah.
Which are they?
Would you like to elaborate on that?
It's my intention, 7:30 to 8. and 4 to 7 will be operational hours, allowing myself or an employee to be able to be on site, open the facility, and do any tidying up for the day's business. From 8 to 4, we will be open to accept any yard waste from the public. And then from 4 to 7, it allows us time to break down the material that we accept that day.
So you would be on the site, but the public would not be on the site?
Not from 7:30 to 8, and 4 to 7 would be myself or an employee.
Okay. Thank you.
When do the beep-beep start of the backing up of equipment? 7 o'clock or?
It depends on what has to be accomplished that morning from 7:30 to 8. It will be on a case basis.
Are there any other questions from council members?
How does this help with the community identity and integrity? How does this project do that? You did mention that.
I feel like the facility will provide a central location for residents and inhabitants of the county to dispose of their yard waste, which right now the landfills and transfer stations are currently overburdened by that. And this is kind of a green use of yard waste, because you as a property owner could go in your backyard and just burn your yard waste without a permit. This type of use allows everyone to dump off their organic yard waste and allow it to be composted and reused to enhance the environment.
So there'll be piles of it?
Yes. There's limitations that you might want to further test, but within the windrows is where the composting goes, and there's limitations to the dimensions and size, right, and they need to be placed on impervious surfaces.
Okay, and I didn't hear any talk about insects, bugs, and flies, because that's been my experience with composting is, when it was in a container. So you're not going to have anything in a container.
That's correct.
Are these mounds of compost, are they going to draw insects, bugs, and flies?
Again, the DENREC regs were put forth to prevent that kind of nuisance foul to be generated. If the windrows are constantly turned like they should be and aerated and the size limitations are met and we're not using animal manure or kitchen waste, there should be no pests.
Okay. I may have missed it, but are there going to be buffers or fences of any kind?
We did go on record at Planning and Zoning saying there would be a buffer adjacent to the drive.
What's in the buffer?
There's an existing forested area there.
There'll be treed,
yes.
Evergreen trees, that type of thing?
Yes.
What's the size of that? What's the width of that?
24 feet at the entrance, and then...
You're talking about the buffer.
Talking about what the neighbors are going to be looking at. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where the neighbors are going to be looking at. That's
10 feet.
What is it?
10 feet.
10 feet? And no, you're not talking about any fencing of any kind then at this point?
No, just there's a gate for the facility that's required by DENREC, but no fencing.
No fencing. Mm-hmm. So visually, where would neighbors be able to see the operation? From what point would they be able to see the operation?
I couldn't really attest to that because I don't live there, but I'm sure there are areas where you could see through. I think there were residents who went on record at the Planning and Zoning Commission saying that they could see the existing chicken houses.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can see the existing chicken houses, then they'll be able to see the proposed.
Okay, so it'll be pretty much the same without fencing, without extra buffers, except at the front of the project?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So let's see. On the environmental concerns, I know you named a lot of areas where you're adhering to the environmental concerns. Are you adhering or complementing or addressing all the environmental concerns?
Yes, ma'am.
Every one of them?
Yeah. And
in the best management sense of the word?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So there's nothing left out there. We've done it all. Okay. Wanted to make sure of that. Okay. I have no idea.
What is the, you kept saying 4 inches, less than 4 inches or more than 4 inches? What can't come in there?
Anything greater than 4 inches in diameter can't be accepted, and by chance that it is, he's required through his DENREC permit to have it removed within a week.
Anything more than 4 inches?
Anything more than 4 inches has to go somewhere else.
No stumps.
Okay. That's
no
because stumps. Of the grinding noise and all that. Is that the reason for
that? Correct. That's why we don't anticipate heavy truck traffic.
I thought it was the other way around. So anything less than 4 inches.
Right.
I was wondering why you were doing that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from council?
Is the existing poultry house, is it in use today? Are the chickens being grown today in that?
No, sir.
So it's vacant?
It's going to be our storage and office.
I saw, it looked like a pretty area. How much of it is in farm right now?
The entire 39 acres.
Could you please come up to the podium to speak so the people watching online can see and hear?
How much of it is being farmed now?
The entire parcel.
Entire parcel, okay.
Except for the, right now, this is the, we have the existing yard waste here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where our activity takes place, and the rest is surrounded by active farm.
The existing yard waste is what?
From personal and investment properties that we've been maintaining for years.
What is that?
Basically, tree limbs, shrubs, plants, anything that with pruning your house once or twice a year, you take all the clippings.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own properties, and since it costs money now to dispose of that, we're very fortunate to have the space to take it, and that's where we've been storing it and breaking it down, getting rid of it from there.
So that's something that you intend to compost? Is that what you're...
Yes, we're going to expand on the existing idea, yes, mm-hmm. and compost it.
You're just enlarging, in a sense of speaking.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So you're already at practice.
Yes, sir.
Which you're legal to do because it's your own property and your own trees. And your, yeah.
Yes.
Anything else?
How long has that poultry house been vacant?
Chicken-wise?
Yeah.
Chicken-wise. Early 90s.
Early 90s, okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, what did he say? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
The answer was early 90s.
I heard that there would, I'm sorry, I've heard that there would be some trees, some buffering, some woods areas, and that would help buffer the appearance of it. I heard you say that, but I'm not sure what you're referring to or where or if it's a permanent situation.
Right. Well, the existing woods and forests mm-hmm. that are there will be...
It's there now.
Right,
but
will
not
be disturbed by this proposal.
Not part of this application. It's
That's
not
correct.
Guaranteed. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, I see.
Any other questions of council before we ask for the public? Is there anyone else here to... First, did you have anything else to add?
No, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Why don't we start right here in the front.
Good afternoon. My name is Bonnie Patrick. I live at 36039 Squirrels Run Circle. My property, I can point it out on the map for you. My property is right here. And I took pictures from my property and from the farm. And I submitted them to you, and
they
we've all had
down.
A chance to
they
see them. Yes. Mm-hmm. And as you can see in those pictures, there is not a 10-foot buffer. You can see straight through to the farm. And when you're on the farm, you can see straight through to our houses. I would like to make some comments today. Some of the things may be questions that perhaps you could address to Mr. Smith or his lawyer. The first comment I would like to make refers to residential surroundings. We realize that these facilities are needed. However, they should be located in open areas and not on parcels of land that are surrounded by communities and housing developments that are comprised of many retired folks, such as myself, who are living on fixed incomes and really don't have the option to pick up and relocate somewhere else. I am concerned as well about well contamination. As I stated at the zoning hearing, I don't know how Mr. Smith is going to regulate what chemicals have been put on the grass clippings and the trees that would come to his facility. And I know that they need to be watered because he was talking about aeration and keeping a moisture on those materials, and my fear is it leaching into the ground. And I know they talked about some kind of regulations that they have to adhere to, but I'm wondering how those regulations are going to be monitored so that we can be sure that our wells are not being contaminated, because all of the surrounding communities are on well water. Another concern I have is the noise pollution. As I stated at the zoning hearing, that's a major concern of ours. And Mr. Smith did say that he was going to have some machinery. And at that time, there was heavy equipment involved, although today it's kind of changed. He said that he can't use anything that exceeds 450 horsepower, and that was in the proposal. The average lawnmower is less than 20 horsepower. So, and I know that we're all thoroughly annoyed at early morning people mowing their lawns, and I just can't imagine that this machinery is going to start at 7:30 in the morning. And I know he said that the business hours now have been changed to 8 to 4, but he's going to do what he needs to do before the business hours start and after the business hours end. So I'm wondering if he is going to aerate and move the mulch and the compost in order to turn it into compost with shovels, or is he going to use equipment? I can't imagine if he's got piles and heaps of this stuff that he's going to use shovels. He's going to have to use heavy equipment. If he's having trucks come into the property to deliver his compost and deliver his mulch, he's going to have big machinery there to load people's trucks when they come in to get loads of mulch or compost. My understanding from the zoning meeting is that it's not going to be bagged. It's all going to be loose and put into trucks. And I had a concern about the tractor trailers coming in and out and the dust, but we did talk about that at the last meeting. My concern is if he's bringing in the compost and he's bringing in the mulch, it's just more or less he's creating a sales center for his product, and he won't be selling a product that he's producing. And my understanding of the conditional use of the AR1 is that there is a sale of product or animals that's produced on the premises. And this isn't going to be produced on the premises because you can't develop compost in a short period of time. So actually, I'm wondering how the resale of these products fits into the description that was laid out in the AR1 conditional use. I'm concerned about the traffic. We are on I think it's called a single lane road, and there are no shoulders. At the former zoning hearing, Mr. Smith and his lawyer said that there would probably be 200 to 800 trucks a day. There could be as many as 800 trucks a day, and that was in the report that you got as well. Now he's saying that there's going to be less tractor trailers, but at the time of the zoning hearing, he said that he was hoping there would be even more than 800 trucks a day, which means he would be selling more product. So I'm wondering how a single lane road with no shoulders is going to absorb the increased traffic. And this means that in order for trucks to go into the facility, they're going to have to line up because he's going to have a gate with an entrance. When those trucks come into the facility, he said that he or his employee is going to examine each load to make sure that the contents meet the DENREC guidelines or whoever's guidelines. So if these truckloads of material are going to be inspected, more than likely, if you've got 15 trucks, they're going to be sitting on White's Neck Road waiting to enter this property, which has a gate right on White's Neck Road. And I'm seeing that my development, Squirrels Run, and the development across the street, Bowerset, will probably have our single entrance and exit road blocked. We will no longer be able to bike or walk out of our communities. Entering and exiting will be severely impacted. Safety is an issue. We spoke about property value at the zoning hearing, and although Mr. Smith stated that he believes that the surrounding community's property values would increase, we all know that the property value will decrease. Our resale chances will be severely declined as well, and the value of our homes will go down. Who wants to live next to a facility such as the one that is described? There is no buffer between Squirrels Run and the proposed facility.
This road, which is supposed to have a 10-foot buffer, as you could see in the pictures, there's not really a 10-foot buffer.
Another concern we have is littering. If you have ever had the opportunity to drive down White's Neck Road and Old Mill Road, people often dump trash and furniture along that road. I am fearful that with a sign that says there's going to be a facility, that people are going to dump more on both of those roads that border that facility. Since the gate will be up, they're going to be dumping on the road and on properties at the entrance of my development, Squirrels Run. And I don't know how that's going to be monitored. I know that when we had the zoning hearing, Mr. Smith said that he was hoping that if that did happen and thoughtless people did dump their trash and garbage and things along the area, that he could count on the fine homeowners in the area to report it. That is a real concern, and I'd like to know how that's going to be addressed. Mr. Smith stated, as far as a fire hazard is concerned, he stated that he was going to be purchasing and selling mulch, and we all know that mulch is combustible, and I'm concerned about a fire breaking out in the facility, and I know it has been addressed. However, my concern now is that the fire would break out when Mr. Smith or his employee is not there, and how would that be handled? Is he again going to count on the surrounding communities to take care of that problem should it occur in the off hours? And the last statement I would like to make today refers to the function of the county council. It's my understanding that one of the purposes of the council is to establish policies for the health, safety, and welfare of county residents. We, as residents of Sussex County, rely on you to represent us as our elected officials to examine and make determinations based on our concerns and our problems. Our opposition to this facility is a major concern for us. Our health, safety, and welfare will be in jeopardy if you approve this facility. We ask you to weigh our concerns over this commercial venture and deny the development of this facility. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have more questions. I should have asked before we had the testimony. I have another question of Mr. Link. Should I wait till the end of the testimony?
Why don't we go through, go through it all, and then ask.
Sure, that's fine.
Is there someone else like to speak, sir?
I would like to elaborate on that without asking the same questions. There's one thing that really bothers me is that...
Do we have your name first, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Michael Kuzo. I live at West Ocean Farms. whenever you take on an endeavor like this, you have the potential for what really can amount to catastrophic problems. And I want to know who's going to pay for those catastrophic problems in the event that they should happen. Like, if the wells were to be contaminated, who's going to pay those and compensate all those people there to have those wells fixed? And if a fire should be caused indirectly but caused by methane gas or various other gases that form here, let's say you're using a grill or something and a fire breaks out, who compensates? Who has to pay for that? And how do you muffle the sound factor from 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night? Who compensates us for that when you're trying to watch TV or have guests over, not to mention the people who come down here to tourists and such to have to put up with this? This is an ocean town, and everything, the employment, the way it functions is based on that. And I'm thinking of the impact of bringing something like this. This is just shy of a nuclear power plant, really. I mean, I don't want to sound ridiculous here, but putting a dump site in the middle of a tourist town like this is not going to enhance anything. And last of all, I would like to say that the property value due to the economy is bad already. Who is going to compensate us when we try to sell $250,000 house and can't get over $100,000 for it? Who makes up the difference? A lot of us that moved down here for the peace and quiet. We worked our life. Most of us are retired. We wanted to get away from it all, and now it's like it's following us right into this vacation area. I think the ripple effect will affect not only the people who live in this immediate area, but the entire town of Bethany Beach itself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next person, please. Actually, if some of you would like to speak, why don't some of you take this first bench, and that way you'd be ready to come up next.
Oops. Good afternoon. My name is Ruth Fella, and I live at 31123 West Ocean Drive in West Ocean Farms. I'm the president of the West Ocean Farms Civic Association, and I have asked to confer with a very impressive appraiser. He has been in the appraisal business for 40 years. I have copies of his credentials, and I didn't know who you said. Who
should Mr. Lang.
Mr. Lang.
Mr. Lang. Thank you. I have three copies. That's all I could get. I'd like to summarize what he said, if you'll bear with me trying to say it in a plain language. After conferring with him, in his opinion, the property is presently zoned agricultural residential, and it does not appear to be in a use by right zoning district. Although the intention of maybe sound of the parties, it has been shown through history that there are a few people always that abuse the site by disposing of unwanted appliances, building material, and other waste items. It seems that appears to be the problem. We, the property owners in the area, have maintained our properties and developed in reliance on the existing use of right building code in our zoning district. It appears that in accordance with the appraiser's report, the majority of our population does not tolerate living in close proximity to such an operation. Therefore, also this decreasing again the value of our property in a time where we're working diligently to uphold property values. The kind of property by its nature is not a clean use. And again, not to be redundant, but the heavy vehicular, did I say that correctly, traffic on the road will distract from the area. And I am sure that our roads are nearly sure that our roads cannot tolerate this type of heavy vehicles. I thank you for your time.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Did he talk about the impact, financial impact on the adjoining properties? And could you read that part of the letter? Because I'm not sure that I can. I just got it. That's
okay.
What part of it certifies that the other properties will be less valuable?
Well,
this is built.
In his opinion, and in comparison by what he called external obsolescence, which he said was one of the three areas of depreciation in value, living next to an undesirable area, He felt that in his appraisal that would definitely, it would be different, he explained to me, than living next to a golf course. The external area can add to the value of the property or detract. And he felt that through his research, it detracted from property value because most people did not want to live in close proximities to this sort of thing.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Charlotte Anderson, and I live at 201 Greenway Drive in Bethany Forest, which is approximately 1/2 mile down the road from this potential hazardous site. I've lived in that particular area since 1995, and our community has cared for White's Neck Road since our development arrived there, which means that we go out there and clean the ditches and the sides of the roads 3 times a year to and try to enhance the beauty and address the environmental concerns of the area. And let me tell you, in those years, we have found everything from car parts to toilets and sinks and mattresses, you name it. And I can imagine what's going to happen now that we have a sign out there relating to a disposal site. And my heart goes out to those people who are living adjacent to that site with what they're going to have to put up with. The traffic along that road has increased probably 12-fold as we've had a development put up on a 300-acre farm along that road. And it's worth your life now with those people going in and out. The traffic along Old Mill Road has increased significantly, and it creates a traffic hazard at White's Neck Road. We have a daycare center in close proximity, and I worry about what's going to happen with those children who are outside playing there with fumes and so on and so forth coming from this facility. And the other thing is people's property values. They are going to sink like you would not believe with something like this there. And being as there are no buffers, there's nothing there to enhance the beauty of the area, it would be a disaster for everyone involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Dawn Cuso. I live at West Ocean Farms. I am a juvenile diabetic of 46 years. Because of the diabetes, my health problems are enormous. I had open heart surgery 6 years ago next month. If you look behind me, you will notice there are a lot of elderly people. We have a lot of health problems. My concern, like Ms. Bonnie Patrick said, with the traffic, the trucks, how is a ambulance, some emergency vehicle, going to come in when every second counts? I just made it by an hour with my heart attack. So that's my concern, not just with the safety, but also if an ambulance has to get there. And like I said, with every second that counts, and you cannot put a price on a life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
My name is Penn Fry. I live in White Neck Village with my wife, Angela. And I have three lots that border the Smith property. And I just like the council to be fully aware that when I bought them, I was aware of the zoning. And I was a little confused. We consulted council. And I said, they're asking for a conditional use. And after consulting council, he said, well, it really seems like they're really asking for a commercial industrial use for this piece of property. Because he pulled off the internet, you know, what the county's definition is, and that's exactly what it is. That's the conditional use we're asking for in this area. So we went a little further, and there's some issues that I think we should address. So I think traffic. People mentioned traffic. We mentioned traffic studies. And I'd like to give you some statistics. Now, we're all aware of the Route 26 project that's going to start within the year. I have maps here if you'd like to see them. But all these access roads are going to be worked on just to handle the additional traffic when they close Route 26 down. We're talking 800 additional, you know, pieces of trucks running up and down this road, potentially, if it's at full operation or more. And that is a big consideration. They have here, when we first got the notice, it was estimated 200, then it went to 800. And I went to Town Talk, and one of the things, the big thing they were talking about, traffic on the access roads, heavy, more traffic, accidents on accidents. It's a big concern. And widening of Route 26, when will it start? Nobody can get out. So these are big issues. And I think they have to be addressed, and I don't think they've been addressed by Mr. Smith. I assume we all have traffic studies where it says potentially 886 vehicles per day. Well, that isn't from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. That's within a 12-hour period or less. That's a lot. That's high-density traffic is where I come from. Now, I'd like to read something to you, and this is something that came from for the Route 26 project. The detour project is expected to take 2 years to complete, as sections of each roadway will be improved at one time with full closures planned. DelDOT officials noted that the purpose of the project is to improve safety. I don't know how we do that with 886 more vehicles on the road and the access roads. Reduce congestion, delineate existing entrances, and improve overall road conditions. Excuse me. Construction will entail the full closures with detours denoted by signage. The closures will be announced to local media outlets and therefore notify the residents. In order to build the improvements that we want to put out on Route 26, we actually have to improve these other roads first, because they are mostly tar and chip over sand. They were really, really in bad condition until the county came in to do some sewer work and put in some temporary improvements. These are the roads that we're talking about putting 886 more vehicles on. Okay, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, we're in construction for the main line. We're going to have these roads, which we're going to be working on for the next 2 years, signed as the alternate route around the construction, so your seasonal traffic that doesn't really know the ins and outs as well as the local people do, they'll have that sign route to use, and they'll be able to cruise right around the construction, he explained. The locals know all the roads themselves, so they'll be able to figure it out. Well, I'll tell you right now, the locals don't know there's going to be an increase of 886 vehicles. Okay, and I'm not sure that they can figure that one out. Like we already mentioned, the children's school, right down the street, right where the trucks are going to be passing. We have the 800, and we have, these are 10 to 11-foot lanes. We have dump trucks that are 96 inches, that's 8 feet. Mirrors are 18 inches, that's a total of 11 feet. While these trucks are going up and down the road, they're just like it was, and I apologize for being redundant, there will be no walking or bicycle riding on these roads. Now, this is an investment to property, or property area. Okay, the number one business in Delaware today is growth. Now, how in the world are you going to grow an area? Because that's where the money's coming from. It's coming from growth because there's industry has lost 20,000 jobs, what, in the past 10 years? Okay, that's a lot. Okay, growth is where the income. Now, if you're going to get growth in this area and an investment to property with a compost facility and 800 additional trucks running up and down the road, I doubt it. I don't think that's going to take place. So, health and safety. We had a discussion, and I happen to agree with the engineer. It's interesting. They took some lessons from the last session, and they talked about well contamination. So, and there's no question, it's a concern, but not from what, from not the way. I come from a farming background. Okay, we fertilize. We still do some farming in Pennsylvania. Okay, so you put the fertilizer down, you plow it in. You know, this is just normal operation. So you're going to have some ground contamination just from that's farming. That's just the way it is. But what we have here, okay, is called Migrated Water. And his firm is doing some work in the Marcellus Shale area, and there, that's a problem. It's a problem here in Delaware. DuPont is addressing this problem right now. Migrated water works like this. When you take something out, when you pump water out, and by the way, when you have composting, requires 40% hydration. You have to maintain the center of that compost pile at 140 to 160 degrees, which means it has to be turned. Okay, well, I'll get into that later on. So this is a constant thing, or it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It takes forever to do this. So when you have this migrated water, it's called the blotter effect. I brought a sponge along to explain this. Let's assume that this is the water table. Over here, I put a blot of ink on this end of it. Okay, this is filled with water, and I squeeze it over here. Okay, water comes out, but what it does, it sucks the water in here. Eventually, what this will do is suck the ink block the whole way over here. So what's happening today, which we never knew before, we thought we were contaminating water by putting things on the ground and what have you, we're actually bringing it in from other areas. Now, Bowerset is a community right across from the proposed facility. Bowerset is now on city water. The reason being, contaminated wells. Because what was happening, they were pulling the water out, pulling contamination in, possibly from some old tanks along Route 26 or where it is. If we continue to do this, and the hydration, you're going to have on this facility, you're going to probably have two wells running full-time or maybe three. You'll be pulling water in. It's called displacement. Water goes out, water comes in. So you'll be pulling contamination in. They discovered that's how wells and properties are being contaminated today. So, next item, noise. Mr. Smith has stated that he plans to operate the proposed facility 7 days a week. Well, now it's not 7 days a week, and for 12 hours a day. Well, I think we'd all be concerned with that. He also indicated that he plans to get permits for machinery that will be over 450 horsepower. And these are, what these are, they're tub scrubbers, and you have shredders. I mean, this is what you do. Now, if he's running the 4 inches, and we have chippers out there, they're going to make noise. And this is a residential. This is a residential area. Like I said, I didn't go in blind. I knew what I was getting into when I bought the lots. We have a agriculture residential area. I would assume that those would be shredders, tub scrubbers with diesel engines. This would be in addition to the other heavy equipment that will be required to operate this proposed facility. He has stated that he will operate within the DENREC guidelines. Let's take a look. Refer to the book on noise. Okay, and I'd like to do that at this point. It's real simple. Two items. This comes out of their textbook. Noise shall mean any sound which annoys or disturbs humans or which causes or tends to cause an adverse psychological or physiological effect on humans, excluding all aspects of noise regulated by the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Act. Now, OSHA originally was designed for employees and employers, and I know what it's like to keep OSHA regulations. But item G, noise disturbance means any sound which endangers or injures the safety or health of humans or animals, annoys or disturbs a reasonable person of normal sensitivities, jeopardizes the value of property, and erodes the integrity of the environment. Lo and behold. Okay, this certainly is not going to enhance that. Let's talk about composting for a second. Natural composting, such as leaves, if you had a pile of leaves in your backyard, now, those of us who are farmers, we know what it's like to have the manure pile out back, and we know how to turn it, and we know how to make it work, and we had plastic over it and what have you, okay? But natural composting, such as leaves, takes 2 years to compost. Composting with human help can be as long as 1 year, and that's just constantly turning this, you know, with the temperature. Now, or as short as several months. This is with the addition of a catalyst, such as food waste, animal waste, or human solid waste. That could be done as quick as 14 days. Mr. Smith stated that he plans to import compost for his commercial wholesale retail business, and that's what it is, till his compost pile matures enough to sell. This is going to take a while. So in the meantime, And this is what I don't understand. I mean, I don't know his business plan, but if it was my business plan, and I have two businesses selling the same material that were within 2 minutes away, literally 2 minutes away, I'm not sure what that, I'm not sure I'd open up another facility to do it. Doesn't make sense to me. And they're on Route 26 and don't have to use the access roads. And all you have to do is go by them. You will see tractor and trailers and 18-wheelers bringing the product in and dumping it off and making wide turns on Route 26. Hey, they have a, you know what? It's zone commercial. That's fine. Okay, the importing of compost for wholesale and retail sale would require tractor and trailers and 18-wheelers to bring in the product. Okay, last time we had a Mr. Davidson. Mr. Davidson stated at the previous meeting that composting and the proposed facility would not produce any gas. You know what? I was going to suggest that his proposed facility was the only one in the world that doesn't produce any gas, because they all do. And today they said, well, it does produce gas, and they used the gas that I had mentioned. Composting requires 40% hydration and frequent turns to achieve the 140 to 160 degree temperature in the center for successful composting. Composting produces methane, hydrogen sulfide, they're right, and also nitric oxide, and we know this, okay, a silage gas. Okay, those of us who are farming are very, very should be familiar with that. Now, nitric oxide, contrary to what they said, when it contacts oxygen, turns into nitrogen dioxide when it meets the air, which is very poisonous, and that's what kills people when they're in silos, barns, and what have you. If you ever worked in a barn, and you had the animals down below, and ultimately some of the gases come up, you can actually get very lightheaded in a barn. I'm not saying this is going to happen. These are open air. These become issues when they're enclosed. Okay, composting is very prevalent in Europe. You don't smell a thing. You could have dinner right beside one. Everything's enclosed, contained. Nothing is in the open. We're as a nation, we're behind on this, and we have the luxury of having lots of land. Other states, here's another thing that we have to consider, and this is something, whether it's this composting facility or another one in the future, other states are running into issues with composting because of solid waste and animal waste. One of the things that we do in solid waste comes from human sewage. Human sewage, it takes 30 days to translate that into solid waste. We haul solid waste, put it in a compost, and away we go. Problem with solid waste, you have feces, you have urine, carrying what? Infectious diseases. Okay, you also have something today that's really become a real issue. It's crazy. Other states are putting legislation together to stop it right now because, you know what you're carrying? Drugs. Because the body is not assimilating the drugs. They're going out in the stool, in the urine. They're actually getting in the compost. You can probably go to compost facilities right in the area if you really wanted to take a test and get a hot load out of there.
So what do you suggest? To shut down the sewer systems or what? What is your...
Not at all.
What are you driving to here? What are you...
Okay, what I'm saying, where I'm going with this is he's going to be bringing in compost that he doesn't know where it came from. Okay, he's going to be putting in the area. I don't care what he does with it. He can put it on his own yard. I just don't want it next. I just don't want piles of it next door to me. That's all. That's where I'm going.
I'm trying to figure out where he's going.
Yeah, and I apologize.
I don't know how the sewer system got into this compost. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
But isn't the sewer system?
It's going to have nothing but leaves and this stuff.
No, he's for.
You're going beyond what he's asked for.
No, Mr. Wilson, he is going to be. And my point was with this, and I apologize for the for lack of clarity. He is going to have to bring in, to make his facility will not produce enough compost for retail or wholesale.
Well, then we won't have 800 trucks then, will we?
Well, what I'm saying is, he says in his statement, and this is, and he didn't say it today, but he said it at the meeting which we attended, he is going to be bringing in truckloads of stuff, of product, until this is done. My question is, who's watching the product that's coming in? I'm not questioning what he produces, I'm questioning what he has. Okay? Now, the request for conditional use, I have one other question, and I'm just going to make it real quick, and I appreciate the indulgence of the council. There was a similar case that was put before the commission several years ago. I'd just like to read some things from the minutes. The commission found, based on comments received from the Office of State Planning Coordination, that the parcel is located with the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the state strategies, where the state will seek a balance between resource protection and sustainable growth. That the site does not that the site does have residential homes around it, and the neighbors have voiced concerns about the use concerning the storage. The branch, the legislative branch, would be interested in knowing that the sources, types of soil, clean or contaminated, that would be stored at the site, that there are air permitting requirements that must be complied with, since crushers are proposed, if generators are used, and if a parts cleaner is proposed, that the proposed project lies within 5 miles of a known Delmarva fox squirrel population at the Asselwoman Wildlife Area, that it appears that the site is within the coastal zone of Delaware and may require a Coastal Zone Act status approval. That DelDOT may require that the applicant improve Irons Lane between Route 26 and Holt's Landing Road as part of their entrance construction, and that this will be determined by the number and types of trucks that would be using the facility, that an entrance permit would be required. With the addition of heavy trucks on the narrow roads in the area, that the proposed usage is unacceptable with existing and planned residential land use, that the residents in the area will be subjected to additional traffic noise and safety issues, that the dust and odorous airborne contaminants will negatively impact all residents, the water supply could be jeopardized by contaminants leaching into the soil, that commercial activities will negatively impact all surrounding property values, and that the use is inconsistent with the AR1 zoning. The conditional use was denied. That was 7 years ago and 700 homes ago. So my question is, I'm going to say this in closing. I would like to close by saying that we respect Mr. Smith's right to develop or work his property within the agriculture residential zoning laws. It is our right and obligation to abide by those same laws as Mr. Smith, as Mr. Smith develops or works his property within the framework of those same zoning laws. Mr. Smith does not have the right to destroy and ruin the communities that surround him by changing the rules to build a commercial industrial facility. When the subject of the proposed zoning change was introduced at the local town talk meeting, the answer was that the zoning change is a county decision, but we understand that no one would want to live next to a compost facility. At this point, I'd just like to finish, but I'd like to give you some maps of compost facilities. And you're going to see something should stand out here. Now, what I have here are three facilities that accept yard waste that are within about 15 minutes of this one. And I'll just point out, and I'll put this down as evidence, here is the proposed. Here's this. What do you see? No houses. None of these are around residential areas. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
I'd like to correct you on one thing.
Okay.
You said it, tourism or any other things and growth is number growth. One business. Well, that's not true.
Well,
the number one business in Sussex County
is agriculture.
It's agriculture.
That's correct.
Okay. Just want to get that correct.
Well, and Mr. Wilson, where I got that out off the internet from the state. Well,
somebody didn't know what they're talking about.
Okay. I'm just repeating what I figure if I quoted the state, I'd be okay.
And chickens are a commercial product also.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And hey, we moved next to a chicken farm. That's fine.
I understand.
It was part of raising chickens. I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I have a question. What's the name of the community whose wells went bad? Is it
Bowerset?
Bowerset.
Bowerset. That's right across.
Is it on the map here?
Across from it. Across
it's
from
right
the
across the street from the facility. It's right across from Squirrels Run.
Okay.
Right
there. All right. Thank you. And
we have it.
What are you intimating? Are you saying that it was caused by? You have any idea? I mean, what was? Suggesting that this is going to ruin the wells.
What I'm saying is there's fertilizer that goes on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know that. I mean, we knew that when we moved here, so that's not an issue. Okay, but but what this does, they're discovering, and especially in Delaware with high water tables or any shore properties, that it's actually reverse to correct this, what they're doing in some of the areas, and DuPont's doing that right now, they're injecting water down into the wells to push it back out to get to keep the pollution out. You know, they're actually putting wells down to do that. So it's an interesting thing. You know, it's part of environmental studies. And actually, in parts of Pennsylvania with the fracking and everything, they're discovering they're coming up with new methods and all because there's pollution's occurring.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Was there anyone else? Yes. Ma'am?
Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Angela Fry, and we live on 31276 Brush Hook Road. Actually, our front faces on White's Neck Road, right down the road from our daycare center, where there's children there 5 days a week. My husband has the scientific explanations of all of this. He's well-versed on it from being in business and farming and so forth. We could continue this environmental and safety negative impact discussion, if you will, till the cows come home. but the thing is, Mr. Smith has a right, it's his property, and we understand that, to generate income, which is obviously what he wants to do, because he wouldn't be going through all this if it wasn't going to be a money-making process. You know, there's still such a thing as honor and integrity, and at the end of the day, you have to go home and live with yourself and those around you that and made choices, you know, that will impact those folks around you in your community. Mr. Smith has stated here and at the Planning and Zoning, he's a fifth-generation Ocean View resident. I think that's absolutely wonderful, but I think we can also see that there are many, many, many people that will be affected by this. In the Millville town limits, as well as those of us right on the roads to the bay, the safety aspect with trucks and children and bikers and cyclists is a consideration in the area we're in, obviously. That's my main concern, is safety with these trucks and so forth. The other thing, the other issues, the noise and absolutely, the odor, absolutely. My hope and prayer is that Mr. Smith will do the honorable thing and withdraw this proposal as a businessman and a resident in this area. There are many other uses that he can rethink and revisit for this property that he owns. And I would certainly hope and pray that he would do that and that he would withdraw this because obviously there is a lot of opposition. And there is no way. Everything's the downside as far as enhancing the community. There's really not any upside because we've been here since 1:30. And I think it's pretty clear. So I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Hard for me to see with this map. Anyone else? What we would do, though, is take a show of hands. First, those that are here in favor of the application.
Can I move that map?
Yeah, he's going to get up and
count. Okay.
Those in opposition to the plan. And Mr. Lawson is going to take a count.
Why he's counting, he's got more fair toes.
You take your shoe off yet? Take your shoes off yet?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
He doesn't.
Okay. I know, Ms. Deaver, you indicated that you had another question.
I'm just, for Mr. Lank, if this is AR1, what is the heaviest type of agricultural use that could happen on that property if they don't get the conditional use?
It's an opinion.
Trucking and that type of thing. I mean, how?
Well, you could get truck farming would be one worth. You have a lot of trucking, but it's only at a certain time for a short term.
Mm-hmm.
Poultry operation, which again would be the poultry operation. You create the hours, the dust, the odor, the noise, and again you got the trucking operation that brings in the poultry and then takes the poultry out after it's grown at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's probably the most, as far as agriculture use. They could also have a grain dryers on the farm, which creates 24 hours of noise on occasion. Mr. Wilson can probably answer that question better than I can because he's in the farm business.
They could also have a hog operation.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, that's the odors you could get.
That would really be a doozy.
So. I'm just, you know, asking what. I want to look at all the possibilities with the current zoning.
I also pump 1 million gallons. I have irrigation, and I have several wells. I pump roughly 1 million gallons a day out of each one of these wells. I don't know where I'm putting the water back in. I just think the good Lord is sending the water back in because I don't pump them dry. Mm-hmm. Now, in Sussex County, we got plenty of water. Now, if we go down in Virginia, we're short of water. They don't have the water. But in Sussex County, we've been blessed. We've got lots of water. So I don't think he, honestly, I don't think he's going to be pumping that kind of gallonage. So that's my.
Okay. And if it were to develop, like, can become a subdivision, or it developed in any kind of residential fashion, what is the total number of homes that could be put on the same property, that particular piece of property?
It's zoned AR right now. It could be developed at 2 units to the acre with a cluster. And if it's in a sewer district, it could still gain about 2 units per acre. So you're talking about 80 to 100 units depending on the design. Whether it's a cluster, whether it's a standard.
Okay.
That's right. And it could apply for rezoning to be consistent with the subdivisions adjacent. Squirrel Run Zone GR, General Residential, permits mobile homes or modular or stick-built houses. The White's Neck Village and can't think of the other name. West Ocean Farm. Okay. They're both zoned MR, medium density residential, and a portion of one of them is B1 neighborhood business. They're developed 10,000 square foot lots. They got about 4 units to the acre. So it could be a rezoning to make it consistent with the rest. It would be about 4 units to the acre, especially with the sewer, and the land use plan would allow for it. Mm-hmm. So it could be up to 4 units to acre.
Could be if it got rezoned.
Yeah, and that would give you a 120 to 130 range. Mm-hmm.
But as AR1, you could have a subdivision.
Could be subdivided. It would require a public hearing. It would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And again, it would be about 2 units to the acre as it exists.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank
I do have one question. I keep hearing these numbers of 450 horsepower for equipment. What kind of decibel output will these things have?
I'm not specific on the decibel level because right now the only intention for equipment is a bobcat, a landscaping truck, and a chipper. And I'm hoping for approval so I can go out and get the equipment, and then I'll know what the decibel levels will be. But those are the equipment that will need to be purchased to open this facility.
Thank you.
You may have to grind some more.
Thank you.
Okay. There was a question raised, and there was a It was based on a number. In the public hearing before the commission, it came up that there would be 200 trips per day. It's 200 trips, that's 100 vehicles in and out. And there was a reference made that there was going to be 800 vehicles. The way it was proposed or anticipating 200 trips, that's 100 vehicles in and 100 vehicles out. And that was commented on at the commission level at the end in the question and answer period. It wasn't 800.
Thank you.
I know he earns a lot of trucks.
Yes. If
I really got my Dell Dot, hardly.
Okay. If there's no more questions from the council at this point, the public hearing is closed on this matter. And if it's desirous of the council to close the record at this time, you cannot vote on this matter because it was deferred by planning and zoning.
And in that reference, you're all welcome to sit in on the commission meeting on Thursday evening. It starts at 6. You cannot participate as far as making comments. They're only going to make a decision. They will take no more testimony. So I just wanted you to know. You can come in and listen to it. You can call the office the next day and ask what the decision was, if there is one, or you can watch it online. So if you go to the Sussex County website, you can actually watch it online and hear what's said. Save you a trip.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. President.
We will close the public hearing, and with no questions from council, we'll close the public comment. Okay, we'll have a motion, Mr. Wilson, second Mrs. Deaver, to defer. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson, yes. I vote yes, motion carried. Item is deferred until P&Z makes a decision. Entertaining motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Yes.
Have a second? We got that. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're in adjournment. Thank you. Thank you.